I'm going to read from Acts 1. Acts 1, verses 1 to 11. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Amen.
Thank you. I'll just put my glasses on. Good morning, church. Thank you for coming when there's a woman speaking. Thank you that you turned up. You might not like some of this, what I'm going to say this morning, but it's all from the Lord. When we get a word from the Lord, and the speakers here, our lovely pastors, it's morning, noon, and night, and God just pours in his word, and you've got to listen, and you've got to write down. And I'm going to say to you this morning with all boldness, it's time to change. Change. You have to change. I have to change. And it's got to be this year. God is wanting to break through with fire and Holy Ghost power. But if his people are not ready and prepared, he will keep you at that level over and over again until you said, "I've got the message." Can you believe it? We are now 15 days into this new year. Men and women have made their New Year's resolutions. They're going to stop smoking. They're not going to drink alcohol. They're going to start Slimming World. How many have done that? After Christmas, me, I'm continually yo-yo dieting. But none of it works because we always stop slimming. But what have God's children decided to do? Are they going to get closer to him? Have they said, "Lord, I'm going to read your word more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to fast more. I'm going to be more loving to my brothers and sisters." All of these things are commendable. Yet, as I sought the Lord was asking me and saying, "Are you going to listen what I want for you, my desire for you this new year?" And as I awoke to the morning, just before Christmas, because I'd said to the Lord, "Lord, years ago, there was always a scripture going through my mind or a chorus when I awoke on the morning. It stopped, Lord. Why?" And the Lord was speaking to me. And then this was the morning when he said, no talking to Jack, no speaking to anyone. Perfecting holiness. Why? In the fear of God. He gave this to me, and I thought, "Lord, I'm going to start taking notice of the words that you are speaking to me." He gave me the promise, the preparation, and the power. And Luke, Pastor Luke, has read all this to you. Well, I believe 2017 must be the year for us, the Church of Jesus Christ, to get serious about eternal things. We have to catch the fire again of Pentecost. Do you believe it? We've got to catch. I am full of fire from the age of 24 when the fire of God came upon me for 7 days and seven nights. I was changed. And at 76, I'm in my 77th year, that fire is still burning within me. It's still burning. What we had, if it is real, it'll keep you going. Do you know what? The people outside, and I've said it in the prayer meeting, they think that Christianity, religion, it's for the little children and elderly people. I tell you what, that we, the children of God, we have to be strong in the Lord, whatever age, and in the power of his might. We're not wimps. We are strong, and we've got to get ourselves right. Our friend Eric, 82, he just died suddenly. He just died suddenly. We never thought it was coming. One of the group in the Emmanuel Choir that we used to go to homes. And Lord, I said, Lord, we must be prepared for that day when it comes, that we are real and not putting on something. And if it's real, you will be excited. You see, that's why people don't want it. They want the pubs and the clubs because they think that that's got something for them that's going to fill them and fill them. But we want to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. We want to be filled, flowing over in us. And that fire has never left me. God's way must be our way. His thoughts must be our thoughts. The time is now to cease from being just listeners. Oh, how we've said it over and again. We must be doers of the word, but we turn aside and we don't. We don't do it. We just listen and we're getting like fat sheep. Oh, fat sheep, we're taking in the word and we're taking in the word, but we're doing nothing about it. God says, get serious, Barbara. I'm listening. We've got to be doers. You see, Jesus began to speak and to do. There's got to be action in the power of God. I know what I have decided to do this year. At last, I've started to listen to my master. He is the remedial teacher. Do you know what a remedial teacher is? He has to have patience with those who are slow in learning. And he will keep you, the remedials, in that class. It used to be called the dunces class. I was never in that. I was in an A class. But I was 34, right at the bottom of an A class. And I remember the teacher saying, Barbara, will you come out and show me on the map what I've just been speaking about? And I said, oh, sir, I wasn't listening. He said, I know you weren't. He said, you were looking out there at what was happening. So the remedial teacher will keep you on the same level till you have learned the lesson. Then you will be able to move on. I hope this morning the Lord will reveal to you what needs to be changed in your life, in my life, to advance, to go to the next level, because I'm sure that the Lord is wanting you to advance. Sure. God's people today need the inflow from heaven. Then when we've got that, there will be a powerful outflow to men and women. They can only be touched when the power is within us. We can't give them anything unless we're full of the Holy Ghost. Let's return to that large upper room where 120 followers of Jesus were gathered together. What were they doing? They were waiting for the promise of the Father, waiting all together, all those days. And then we read that the promise was fulfilled. It was after many days. You see, the disciples didn't have a clue what would take place. They hadn't been told, oh yes, it'll come on Wednesday. It'll come at 3 in the afternoon. Nothing was given to them. It was just faith, obedience, and love for one another. And it followed after their long wait. Can you imagine that all of us in here, waiting in here for 10 days, put your mobile phones away, get off Facebook, and get loving one another. Because you see, in a church, God wants the barriers to come down. That's what was happening in those 10 days. The barriers were coming down. Forgiveness was unfolding. I remember when a pastor at the church years ago, over 20 years ago, and pastor said, if you've got anything against anyone, will you go and tell them? Well, I just had my eyes down and I felt a tap. And there was a young man. And he said, I have something against you. I said, well, can you tell me what it is? He said, no. I don't know to this day what that man had against me, but he couldn't. The Holy Spirit was so moving that he had to come and say, I haven't forgiven you. I hope he did. I know he doesn't go to this church now. He has left. But the pride and the self-seeking and the jealousy, all the things, the base things that they are in us, and if we don't watch, they do rise. Let's be honest, jealousy, it rises up. But all these things have to go. Those who would love the preeminence, they have to fade away. And when God wants to bring them forth, they will come forth. Don't you worry. You do the right things, and those gifts and callings of God, they will flow from you in wonder. So unity and hearts knit together were in those people in the 10 days that they waited. And then it says suddenly. Oh, I love the suddenlies. Oh, over the years how I've had, I've prayed. And then suddenly. And where did the sound come? The sound came from heaven as of a mighty wind plus the fire. Jesus is going to be the baptizer in the Holy Ghost, but also the little one that we miss out, and with fire. Oh, as a mighty wind came, it touched human flesh, but they weren't burnt. When fire, if you put your hand on a fire, it burns you. This was consuming them and taking out all the things that were blocking the channels. And the Lord reminded me again of the burning bush, that common bush, and Moses drew near. And so these followers of Jesus, when the power came, it came upon them. And they poured out. You don't keep it in your church. They poured out into the world around them, out into a world not expecting them. A bold, prepared people, willing. These young men were willing to do the work of their master. He had ascended on high. Now they had to continue the greater works with the helper, the comforter, and the power filler, the Holy Spirit. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that gave them the boldness to preach, the ability to keep clean. Oh, keep clean. Keep clean. Overcome every obstacle through the Holy Spirit. And put in their way God's power as it was released. And remember, one baptism, many, many fillings. Are you being filled and filled and filled with the Holy Ghost? It's there. It's there. The tongues are there. The prophecies are there. All the gifts are there. You will be excited when you're using them in the right way. Now I want to move away from the upper room. That's all I wanted to say. Because you see, you might say, well, that was then, all those years ago. And the Lord said, no, this is now. This is the generation. And this is a copy and a replica of the upper room today. That's what God was saying to me. As it was then. Oh, well, that all ended. It all ended then. There's nothing more. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. A replica of the upper room. For it's the promise, the two angels, a prepared people, an upper room. The power won't come till you do it in the right way. Promise, prepared, then the power. So where are we today? We're still waiting for the promise for Jesus to return for us. Isn't that the same? They waited for the Holy Ghost to come. And we are waiting for the mighty Jesus to come back to us. For as we listen to the words of those two angels, this same Jesus that has gone up into heaven is going to come the same way as he was taken up. It's the same Jesus that went up, the same Jesus that will come down. So that promise is ours today. We're still waiting. It's a long wait, isn't it? I remember in the young days when I was in Assemblies of God there in Rensfield Road, the preachers, how they come. He could come any moment. He can come any moment. I think a lot of them have got tired. But he hasn't come. We have to say he's coming and we want to be ready. Jesus gave us that information. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you're going to be with me. The second coming, watching and waiting, looking above. Where are our eyes this morning? A couple of weeks ago, near the Sainsbury shop where we go down on the main road, he's a teenager on a very large horse. She's coming along, and guess what she was doing? She was texting on a mobile phone. And there was children crossing, and I said, Lord, I've seen it all now. People are stepping out into our cars. Jack nearly runs somebody over. Their eyes are on their mobile phone. Now, I am going to share something with you, and you might think it's a little smutty, but I ask permission for my Lord to give it, because you'll find out where I'm going. Many years ago, my mother's elderly cousin, Gladys Court, came to stay with her. One night, Gladys and Ella were sitting watching a lovely film. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. When suddenly, a bedroom door swung open and a young couple were doing gymnastics on the bed. You'll laugh, but listen this. Gladys shouted, "What are they doing, Ella?" My mother answered as quick as a flash, because she was funny, wasn't she, Mum? She said, "Gladys, she's having an epileptic fit and the man is restraining her." Why am I telling you this? Because this old Pentecostal, Gladys, who sat in Smith Wigglesworth's meetings, whose son Andy was healed of lameness as Smith laid his hands on him, she went as a teenager to make fun of the two evangelists, Stephen and George Jeffries. She was going to show them up. And instead, Gladys as a teenager got marvelously saved. How could you expect this woman who attended Pastor Nellie Welford's church, who had been marvelously healed, and Gladys sat in those ministries, how could she know or even think that filth would be on the television? She was as naive as a young child. My mother was very embarrassed, and quickly the television was turned off. But you know something? Our children are in their bedrooms and they have little televisions, and teenagers are sitting with their boyfriends in front of mothers and fathers. And I said to one of my children close on, you know, and I said, "Aren't you a bit embarrassed or troubled when you sit with your mother and father watching these sex scenes?" And you know what the answer was? No. Can you see why God is saying we've got to change? 50 years ago, he's dead now, but a pastor called David Wilkinson, hands up those who remember, David Wilkinson, he wrote a book, a famous book. He was the author of The Cross and the Switchblade. He wrote another book. Do you remember The Vision? Who read The Vision? You know, my throat's starting. The Lord revealed to him that many of these things would come to pass. Unclean spirits would invade our television. Nudity and sex scenes would be seen. It would become normal. You would see things that you never thought that your eyes would look at. I thought at that time, as I read that book, this couldn't happen. 50 years ago. Gradually, the producers of televisions are bringing things in. It's gradual till in the end, they say, even Christians. Well, there's a lovely film there. There'll be some filthy words, but it's soon over. We've got to change. My New Year's resolution is this. Put a brick through the television? No. But that defiant idol in the corner, you've got to choose your programs. I'm not saying that the television is bad, because there's some marvelous things on. So what have I decided to do? And I've done it. I said, Lord, I'm listening now. You've been telling me for a long, long time. Because there was a film on the other night, and very unexpected, some really awful scenes come on. And I was saying to Jack, get it over. It was taking a little bit too long. I said, over, Jack. And he finally did. And I just felt the Holy Spirit right into my soul and say, you shouldn't be watching these things. So now, I'm getting up at 9 p.m. I'm coming away from the unwelcome guests that are invading our clean homes, unwanted spirits of filth. Remember the three monkeys. See no evil. Hear no evil. Speak no evil. Oh, we are hearing the Holy Spirit saying, just be careful what your eyes are looking at. Christians all over, especially on the God channel, they're going, more, Lord. We want more, Lord. We want more of you, Lord. You know what the Lord's saying? And I want more of you first. Yeah. More of us. He's calling us out. I remember hearing John Bevere, a pastor, an evangelist, tell this story. He was watching a television program. It would be American football. And it was so exciting. And oh, he was right into it. And then he felt the Holy Spirit anointing him. He heard the Holy Spirit quietly within him say, I want you to come apart. I want to speak to you. And he said, I said, Lord, give me another 15 minutes. It hasn't finished the game. Just 15 minutes and it'll be finished. The program did finish. And John Bevere, he went out of his room into his study. And then when he knelt before the Lord, he knew the anointing had lifted. There was no more sense of the Spirit of God. His presence had gone. Then it was hard work for John. He repented with tears and regrets. Of course, we know that the anointing comes back again when you put yourself right with him. So now we want his presence, and a continuation brings results. We must again go back to the upper room and continue in the apostles' doctrine. We must continue. That word, Steve, wasn't it, in the prayer meeting? You've got to keep on. How many churches, when there's anything coming up, they say, we'll close the prayer meeting? I've heard that from large churches. Well, we don't have a prayer meeting now. They continued with prayer. That which began with the 10-day prayer meeting, it's imperative that it continues. The breaking of bread, we do this. Sound teaching, we get it, don't we? And there's more. Fellowship. Christians moving together as one. One heart, one mind, one accord. Do you feel that with me? Do you feel of one accord, of one heart, with one mind? When we get to that place, oh, I mean, we're all funny, aren't we? Let's come on. We all have strange ways, hey? But we're not looking at the strangers, we're looking at what God can do with us. So when the day of Pentecost came over 2,000 years ago, the results came through unity. Do you believe it? The results came through unity, and the fire fell. Oh, that fire. You know, I see people dancing around and wriggling and doing all sorts. I tell you, when the real fire's upon you, you do nothing but just say, oh God, you could take me any moment. It's so strong. Do you remember Finney, that man Finney? He said the fire was upon him so much that he said, Lord, take it away. My body can't take it. I was like that. I would crawl downstairs and over to my neighbour across the road, and I said, I don't know what's happening. Send for my family, but I think I'm dying. And that fire went on for 7 nights. 7 nights. And I was saying, Lord, when is it going to go? I want it to go. Where is it? Am I normal? I didn't know that 7 was the perfect number. And the elders, they didn't know. They couldn't tell me. They took me to pastors. There was only one pastor. He said, it's the apostolic fire. It's the apostolic fire. What's up with everybody? And when I heard, you know, Williams, Barrington Williams, the fire of God, they said it changes you and you keep changed all the days of your life. It's wonderful. And so it was the fire that changes. The power was poured on them. Notable miracles. We want notable miracles, don't we, Nell? Don't we, Nell? And we're going to get it. We're going to get it like Diane. Oh, what God did with Diane is marvelous. It'll take place. It was seen by Peter and John. You know what? We're too rich. We're too rich. We have money. Peter and John had nothing. But Peter said, I've got no money, but what I have got, I give unto you. So you might have your thousands in the bank and your hundreds stocked away in cupboards. I know you haven't, but, because I haven't, but get your money ready for the away weekend. But the thing is, we can have all that money and we're losing out because the storehouse within is empty. The name of Jesus Christ was given, and all he had to say, listen to us when we pray for the sick, what a palaver. Peter just said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk, Nell. That's what was said, Nell. That's what was said. And we believe that we're going to see it. And we will. We will see it when we're full. I said this day, this morning, God wants changing us. He's preparing his saints for his promise to go back with him. If Jesus had to say, I am going up there to prepare a place for you, new life, all the Christians, how much more should we prepare as Christ's bride? There's a wedding going to take place. There's a feast in heaven. The church, as a bride, must prepare. But am I all right for time still? For the bridegroom. You see, I'm waiting for a suddenly. I know you pastors are. I know you people are. When he said he's coming back again, this is what God does. God never gives us the month or the day or the year. All he says is, be ready. Isn't that similar to the coming of the Holy Spirit? It's a replica. It just come to me. It's exactly the same. He came down from heaven, the Holy Spirit, to a prepared people. The disciples were changed men. You see, the fire changes you. Do you feel changed? Do you feel changed today? Are you prepared for God's business? Are you going to be men and women living flames? Living flames, that's what we've got to be. Now the power. Oh, the power. Come on, Linda. Come on, get it. Get it, the power of God. Today, Christians are crying out, send the fire. Send the power. Give us another Pentecost. Do you know, I believe God's saying this breakthrough, it's very near. It's nearer than you think. But there's conditions. There's conditions before the power is given. And this is it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn to me, seek my face. Note, it's not his hands. A lot of Christians are just looking at Christ's hands. No, his face. And to his people he's saying, and turn from your wicked way. Whew, does that offend us? It should make us look at our lives. Because it says, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. And the greatest thing, I will heal their lands. Look how the lands need the healing of the Lord. This was God's promises to Solomon. And today, the lands badly need a great healing. We've got to humble ourselves. You know, I look at my life. I'm beginning to look at my life all the time. And I'm saying, Lord, if there's anything there, I don't want it. I want it out. I want it out. You know, it's our minds that seek to defeat us. I know that even now, some of you, you're really listening to the word, but the mind, it comes in, doesn't it, all the time. And we've got to, you know, get it out. Seek his face. Seek holiness. Why should we seek holiness? Because without holiness, no man or woman will ever see God. This is God. Be ye holy as I am holy. We're reading the word, but we're knocking those things out of the way. Holiness. You ought to live holy and godly lives. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Holy lives. He knew all about holiness. He was on that mount when the glory came down and he saw the glory of the Lord and holiness. So perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Noah was told what he had to do to build an ark. And the Bible says that he was moved with fear to obey God. When he was asked to build an ark, he quickly started the work. We also should be moved with fear of God to do what he asks us to do. You see, there is another ark. It's the ark of Jesus Christ. And we need to fill that ark up with our families. Our families are still in the wilderness. They're still in the land of the backslider. And oh, when you think of an eternal hell, we have to be moved with fear like Noah. Do you know, sometimes we don't like to think about the flames of fire. It's not you're going to be there for 6 months or a year. You're going to be there for eternity. Oh, let's read the things that's going to move us to fear. We have battles ahead of us, pastors.
People.
Battles ahead of us. Families to rescue. And we have to come. And with the weary hands of our ministers, the ones that minister to us week by week, the leaders and their wives. We don't know what the wives go through of leaders. But we've got to intercede like Moses. And it was while his hands were up on the mountain, up atop, interceding with his hands up, that Aaron and Hur, they could see weariness. Can you see weariness on our leaders? Can you see it? Don't think that they're just getting it, everything going well for them. They're getting attacked. And so swiftly, we've got to do something about it when we see that they are weary and troubled by all the burdens and the trials that are coming upon them. And while he had his hands up, Joshua, who was struggling with the battle in the valley below, and every time the hands were going down, Amalek was prevailing. That's what's happening now. When our hands are not up, Amalek, he's the one, the evil one, that is prevailing against you. There's a fierce battle, but we win, don't we? Because Joshua won, and Jesus won at Calvary. So we need insight. And when people are telling you what they're really going through and being attacked, there's a lot of sickness. And you put your hands up if you know the sickness in the body of Christ. We're hearing it all the time. They are getting attacked. The power of the Holy Spirit, our helper, comforter, that's the one that we need with him. We must not grieve the Holy Spirit or ignore his small voice. Our eyes have to be too pure to look on evil. This year, change has to come, but it's going to come from above. And I'm nearly finished. I'm going to get quickly through now. Am I all right?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the only one that convicts the world outside. He is the one, not us. He convicts of sin and righteousness and coming judgment. But he's the only one that can convict us of the things that we're doing if they're wrong. And we need to say, Holy Spirit, are we grieving you? Holy Spirit, when you look at our lives, are we doing things that you don't like? Sometimes we don't do that. See, we don't do it. He will convict us if we lukewarm, if apathy and indifference is in our lives. We can see the signs of the time. We hear from our dear brother right into God bless you, and we've got to catch that fire to pray now for Israel in a fervent way. We haven't to be indifference. We were took out of that tree. No, the Jews were taken out of the tree of Abraham, and we were grafted in. Grafted in. And we can soon be pulled out as well. Keep being grafted in. What about independent spirits in the church that want to do their things, their own things? What about rebellion in the church, doing their own works? Till Christ reveals to his children the person that's an independent spirit. Brother, sister, you're worn out, you're burnt out, and you've jumped out from a revival fire that's going to begin. And when it does, it will spread so quickly, it will be even from the tiniest spark. In a prairie fire, it only takes a little spark, doesn't it? And we've seen it in Australia, and it's jumping even over the roads because it's devouring. When we turn aside like Moses to see a common bush burning and yet not consumed, does that give us a hunger for the fire of God? You see, holy ground was all around this common bush in the wilderness. And Moses, who for 40 years had been away from his home, the palace of Egypt, his family, his friends, and all the words that were spoken that he needed to know. His fire had gone out long ago. And can you imagine Moses, you know, confusion in his mind. Why have I been just thrown aside in a strange land? Why? 40 years. And he would say, I've spoilt everything. I've messed it all up. I am finished. My work is over. Then suddenly, a wilderness experience becomes a fire, because he was on the backside of the desert, tending to his father-in-law's sheep, wondering about things, and just out of the corner of his eyes, there's a fire. And he looks again and he says, well, it's not being consumed. I will go near. And holiness again. As he walked near, the voice that said, Moses, take off your shoes, because the place where you were standing, it's holy ground. When Christ is here in fire, where we stand on the platform, every chair, it's holy ground. And that fire jumped from a common bush. And it lit up. Relight your fire. God relit the fire. Now something that the Lord showed, even this morning as I'm getting ready to come out, God was speaking to me. You see, he said, I went in to the wilderness. But who led me into the wilderness? The Holy Spirit. This is what I want you to take in when you're going through things and you're saying, I don't understand it. I don't understand what's going. The Holy Spirit led him in weakness, no food for 40 days. The Holy Spirit led him in for a battering, for a fight with the devil, the temptations. Tempted, scorned by the devil, but praise God. Praise God, Jesus won the battle. The worst of those three temptations was when the enemy said, get down and worship me and I will give you. That's what Satan wanted. And we wouldn't be sitting here this morning if he'd bowed down. That's what he wants. Bow down. Worship me and I will give you. We know that many ministers in America and all over the world, they've bowed down to money, to the great things that Mammon, isn't it, Mammon? They bowed down. They wanted that. They looked at the hands of Jesus instead of looking into his eyes. But, another word the Lord said, but listen, the Holy Spirit led me out. He'd had the battering, absolutely famished, 40 days and 40 nights. The Spirit led Jesus out. What with? Full of the Holy Spirit and power. When you were finished with all your trials, because you're all going something. Do you know something? I've got my husband in hospital there. He's been in since Thursday. More tumours in his bladder, more cancers. And if I'd listened to me flesh, I would have said, I can't do this word. I've got conjunctivitis, I can hardly see you. My eyes are just, you know, really, really blurry. Right, I don't like driving. Jack's not there. I've had to drive here. Poor Elsie's been with me in the car. I said, can you see Elsie? Well, what's that ahead? Is there something on the road showing us? Which, you know, when we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, when Satan comes at your body with disease, when he puts all these trials, when you get people coming, even in the church, and talking you down and out. No, no. He came out, and that's when his ministry began. You go through the bad things, but he doesn't keep you there. He doesn't keep you there. I don't believe that my Jesus keeps you down like that forever. There is a time. And though Jesus was the Son of God, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Are you learning? Are you learning? I know if I had a little camera and I went into all of your heads this morning, you know, you have all got some sickness or some sore or something that's driving you crackers. Well, join the band. But I can say to you, my God has never, ever let me down. He brings us out. And the thing you've got to learn, the Lord allows us to go down into the valley experiences from the mountaintop. You can't stay up in the mountain. You see, there is a devil waiting at the bottom, waiting. And when he's free, when the devil's free, and then the people around about him will be freed also. And so Jesus came down from the mountain with his disciples. And he again was the one that had to cast out the demon, because the disciples just couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it at that time. One more thing I'm going to say, and there's a few more. Our children and family, we try to guard them and protect them. Do you remember my mum? Oh, how it used to get on my nerves. She was always protecting me and fighting for me. But I never argued with mother, but I used to say, leave me alone. But you know, the Lord says, if your children are going through things and you're getting yourself in such a state, the Lord is saying this morning, they've got to taste this hardness of life. They're mine. Whether we live or whether we die, they are mine. And I will do with them what I did with my son. They learn obedience by the things that they suffer. And so, Mom, she knew what was going on in our home and with Diane, the weeping and all that. But God was saying, I'm changing her. Just leave her. Let me deal with Barbara. And he did. So our children have to taste the hardness of life. And when they come right down to rock bottom, that's when the Lord will lift them up. We love to protect them. Leave them. There's going to be an end product, because I am working in your children for eternity. I'm working. Just keep on praying. Just keep on praying, and they will come. Today, as we view this crazy world where anything goes, and God's word is constantly being challenged and then even ignored. You see, it's that same Satan that was in the wilderness who said to Eve, has God said? Nah, We don't listen to that. God has said it. It's in his word. He's spoken from heaven. And we've got to get on and obey it. We know the Bible is true. It's a living word. And we have to catch the fire of the word of God. You see, the word of God is a hammer that breaks the rock. The word of God is a fire. And the word of God convicts. Everything is in that word for you. We take the inflow from heaven of Pentecost, and then there will be a mighty outflow. The Lord is saying this morning, lay your lives on the altar of sacrifice. Dare you do it? It's imperative that you do. Lay your lives on the altar of sacrifice. He's calling today for you. Ask him, when you're laid still and quiet, are my ways hindering what you want to do in my life? The Lord desires all of us, 2017, January, not just to give him a little part of your life. He wants everything. He wants every part. Give him more. I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no other highway that the child of God may go. Though the road be rough and steep, if he leads you, that's enough. I want God's way to be my way every day. And I'm going to listen carefully now to this. I spoke about the three monkeys. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. This is the year for Samuel's ear. Listen, God gave me this. This is the year, the monkey, don't speak any evil. We've got to have Saul's mouth on the road to Damascus. Lord, when he was on the floor, thrown off his horse, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said, Elijah's feet. Well, there's a lot about Elijah, the prophet, isn't he? We've got to have his feet. As he ran before King Ahab, he ran before the chariot. Supernatural feet that's going to run. Because you see, the little cloud in the sky was the size of a man's hand. Just look at your hands, men. That's all it was. Again, seven times Elijah sent his servant. He was praying, the servant was going, one, there's no clouds. Two, there's no clouds. He kept praying. He went till he got to the seventh, and the servant said, there is in the skies a cloud, just a small one. Elijah said, that's enough for me. That's enough. There is a sound of abundance of rain. So he started to rain. It started to rain, and he was running where it was just coming down a little bit. This is where we are, church. Just a little bit of rain. And then it became a deluge. So everything was supernatural. And I'm finishing with this. The Lord said, what about the mind? And what about the eyes? Easy. Let this mind that was in Christ Jesus dwell in you. Have the mind of Christ. And the last one, eyes. Let our eyes be so pure that when we're watching the television, we've got ears listening. Barbara, you shouldn't be watching this. Eyes, you shouldn't be looking. Ears, you shouldn't be listening to that. And mouth, keep it clean. Lord bless you. Amen.